Welcome, middle-aged gamers, to the latest episode of the Middle-Aged Gaming Podcast. Today, we are talking about Redfall and Redfall because it was all over social media in the last 36 hours or so. If you're new to this, Redfall is a game by the famous Arcane Studios, but we'll talk more about that in a few seconds. But don't worry, today's not going to be just be about Redfall. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about, including Overwatch, which is a game by a studio that I like, Goblins Studio. I played another one of their games earlier. We'll be talking about the CMA and Activision Blizzard and all the controversy around that. So stay tuned. But as always, I'm going to stop blabbering. We'll jump right into Adam's first story.
All right. So my first story is that Armored Core 6 Spires of Rubicon was announced. I guess it was announced a while ago, but now we have an official release date. It's going to come out on August 25th, which is, what, 2 weeks before Starfield. So that's nerve-wracking for me. I definitely am super excited for this. I've already made 2 videos and 1 short about it. So yeah, if you want to see me go into detail on what we're seeing here in the trailers and whatnot, go ahead and check out those videos. But just from a brief overview, it's not going to tie in directly with the other Armored Cores, but it does seem to be in the same universe. Your character is a human plus, I guess you would call them participant, whether voluntary or involuntary, but you're coming from the old world and you're coming over to Rubicon. It looks like it's going to be a fresh start, but I guess that you could call it a soft reboot in a way. We're seeing the return of a lot of older features. It's going back to having a lot of that aerial combat that we had in the original games. Armored Core 5 was a little more ground-based, so we're going to be seeing a lot more of that. A lot of old weapon types are returning. It looks like we're getting a few new weapon types. It looks like we're getting some kind of lance weapon or a sword that spins and does this buzzsaw kind of thing, or some kind of Darth Maul type thing going on there. Yeah, really exciting. It also looks like legs might be getting a little more variation in how they function. In the past, basically the only difference was bipedal was your standard. A reverse joint gave you a really high jump, so they were really good for aerial because you could get off the ground pretty quick. Tank treads allowed you to carry a lot and also allowed you to fire things while on the move that were normally had too much recoil for bipedal or reverse joint legs. Quad legs were basically the lighter version of tank legs. They were faster, but you could fire things while moving. And they're all making a return, but it looks like there might be some other functionality there. I've heard from some of the comments that people were mentioning, it does look like at some point the reverse joint legs are doing some sort of kick attack, and it looks like the tank legs do some sort of like charge attack where it can ram into enemies. So it looks like we might be getting a little more variation there as well. So yeah, I'm just really excited, and check out our videos because my ego needs to grow bigger.
Those are some excellent videos as well. Oh, nice. Yeah, I think you and I talked about Armored Core before, so I'm really looking forward to giving this out a try. And this reminds me of a PC sort of in the early 90s when we would have been about like 7 or 8 years old. There was a mech game, which I cannot remember for the life of me, but this was like more of this style. It was like different from like the, again, around the same time was like the first mech warrior games first started coming out on PC. And I remember playing those. It was like MechWarrior 2 or something like that. It was a really long time ago. And MechWarrior was slower. There was a lot more tactical. And this looks cool. Oh my God, I just saw the video of like special edition. I'd love to buy it, even though I'll probably never play it.
Special edition. Okay, so here's the thing. I've released a short talk that basically lists out all the editions real quickly. It's like one of those old 1990s Micro Machine commercials. I'm just talking so fast. But it lists out all the versions. I'm probably going to go for the collector's edition, which comes with the 19-centimeter figurine. That's $230. The one with the garage is the only thing that's different is it comes with basically a garage set piece for the figurine, and that's $450. So it's nearly double the price just for that garage. So I would not recommend that one because to me personally, it's like you get the set piece. That's pretty cool, but that's not half the price right there just for that. So I would say if you're going for a collector's edition, go for the regular collector's edition. That would just be my...
Is the figurine pre-painted or do you get to paint it?
I'm pretty sure it's pre-painted. They used to, way back in the day, they used to release Armored Core model kits. I think it was by Beikai or Arts or something like that. They were the same... I think it was the same company that did the Final Fantasy figurines, but they've gone out of business. And so you can still find some of the models online, but the problem is they're not made anymore, so you're basically finding like surplus models and stuff like that, so they're hard to find and they're expensive. But what was always really cool about the Armored Core models versus, say, Gundam models is in the Gundam models, you can mix and match and create a custom one if you wanted to, but the Armored Core models were by design supposed to do that. All the arm joints would connect to all the torso pieces. So it was all about customizing your own mech and having your own design that was unique to you. This one is a preset model, so I don't know if it's... I think it comes painted, it comes put together and everything. I don't think this is a model set in the same sense that a Gundam would be. I think it's more of a model sense in the same set, same sense that my Cloud Strife back here is. So I think it's a pre-made model.
Adam, just for people like me who never played Armored Core, I'm very happy to see you so exciting. I rarely see you like this, so I'm sure it's a very good game, but I really have no clue. So when I saw this trailer at first, what tilted in my head was like, oh, it looks like Ghost in the Shell meet Nier Automata, this kind of mix. Am I way off the mark?
You're way off the mark.
It's really look, I swear, it's
near. No, it's nothing like that. So the Armored Core is, and this is one of the things where I've seen people who are already claiming, oh my God, this is going to be game of the year. And I don't think it will be. And this is why. This game is extremely niche. And I think do foresee a lot of people complaining about it when it comes out because it's not going to be anything like Elden Ring or something FromSoft has done in a long time. And so I think a lot of people are going to go into it expecting it to be one thing that it's not. Basically, it's probably like a faster paced mech warrior in a lot of ways. So it is third person. You're running around, you're controlling this mech, but you have your boosters and that allow you to power slide or fly. So you get that added speed. But it is very much about building your mech. There's no leveling up. There's no RPG mechanics in that sense. It's all your stats are based on your mech. And these stats go down to the point where on the legs, one stat is literally turning speed. So, you know, how quickly you can turn around is one of the stats. And it's not a quick twitchy based thing where you're like turning around like maybe, you know, like Nier or Gears of War or something like that. Targeting also is not manual. And it's not like a manual third person. They don't show it here, but one of the pieces you get is an FCS. And your FCS is basically your targeting module. So when you're running around, there's a big, basically a square on your screen, and that's your HUD. And if an enemy is within that square and within range, you'll auto-lock onto them. And then if you shoot any of your weapons, with the exception of a few weapons are manual aim, such as rockets, those you have to manually aim, but everything else, even your machine guns or your rifles or whatever, will automatically aim at whatever you're currently targeting inside your target screen. So it's basically, it's kind of like aim assist on steroids in a way for your targeting. So if you're looking for that kind of, if you're looking for an Apex kind of thing or the kind of game where it's all about running around and shooting like Fortnite, it's not going to be anything like that. Turn speed is an actual stat here. So it's not like any of those. Probably the closest game that you're going to find is a Mech Warrior, and just think of it as a faster Mech Warrior, and that's probably the closest you can get to what to expect.
And in terms of gameplay, sorry, just to make sure, is that some kind of like mission-based game where you finish a mission, go back to the garage, tinker with your mech, and go back to the next mission, or is that transition like this?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And that's something that they actually mentioned because a lot of people were, when it first was announced, people coming from Elden Ring were asking, is this going to be like an open world kind of thing? And they said, no, it's going to stick with the old format. And what that is, basically, you have your garage. You go to your garage, you can tinker around with your mech, you can do whatever you want, you add parts to it. It's going to give you different stats. Your legs can tell you how much you can carry. And depending on what weapons you have or what parts you have, your weight's going to be higher or lower. Depending on which parts you have, your mech's going to heat up, going to have a greater heat output or a lower heat output. So you have to put a radiator in there, and that's obviously going to be adding weight to you as well. So you're going to want to find a balance for everything. And then you get a list of contracts because you're a mercenary. So you get a list of contracts. It'll tell you how much each contract is going to cost. It'll give you some information on each contract. Are you going to be engaging with biological units, or is this purely going to be other mechs? Are you going to be facing in MTs, or are you going to be facing other ACs or some kind of big boss? You choose which one you want. Then you go into the mission. You complete it. And when you complete it, you get however much money you've earned from that contract. and they deduct any cost from that. So any damage you've received, you need to repair. Any ammunition that you've used, unless it's an energy weapon, you know, you need to buy back. So basically how you perform on the mission is going to impact the cost that you've accrued, and then basically you get to keep whatever's left over.
Kryan, stop me, because I have so many questions. We could run the whole show like this, so.
No worries. Cool. I'm looking forward to this. Oh, and a side note as well, is I did eBay it. So if you're living in Asia, you can still buy Armored Core models from Japan, just still being made. And it's pretty affordable, like $100 US, and it's cheap shipping to Taiwan as well. It'd be $10 shipping, so you'd pay $110. You can get yourself a paintable Armored Core model. And there are a whole bunch of names, which I don't know, but I'm sure Adam would know. But yeah.
They're just the part names. In the game, you have different companies, and then so it'll say, okay, this is this company, and then they might have a name for that part. So it's just the name of, it's just the names of the parts. And then, of course, companies might have intended sets. This is the set for this, but of course, you can just swap the arm out for something else.
I'm actually sure I've seen these here in Taiwan, in 9x9.
I don't think they're Armored Core officially. I think those are more like knockoff things, but yeah.
Okay. All right, let us move on to Redfall. And then I'm going to try and the hook, which is what I was suggested for this show. So, gamers, did you know Redfall is a bad game? Totally surprised. I was not surprised by this, but I think nobody was, because people were given chances to try this on. I wouldn't say like an open beta, but members of the press were like, hey, come out, check out this preview of this game by this studio, which has only done single-player games to date, and tell us what you think. And people were, the usual preview were like, yeah, this is, it's good. It's not great. It's not fantastic. Hopefully they'll fix things by the release date. And no, they do not fix things. It's unfortunate, but yep, the guys will have a lot of stuff to say about it. But yeah, overall, critics' ratings are not great. As usual, on Metacritic, right, you'll see these sort of high ratings are from like usually unknown media outlets, right? They're like, yeah, 85, and this is why we think it, but it's like, I don't know who is that. Hi. But yeah, ratings are not fantastic. It's unfortunate, because this was a game with a lot of promise. I'll just go into my reason, and then we'll jump into Antoine, who also has some things to say about it. But I think it's just this, right? If you're a studio who has done single-player games, right, making really good multiplayer games in 2023, 2022, 2021 requires studio expertise, right? The Call of Duty studios, right? Treyarch, the Epic with Fortnite, of course, right? PUBG, right? The Blue Sky Entertainment, I believe is the name. You have to have experience. And while they, you may argue, right, like Call of Duty has not been good all the time. Yes, because they try new things. They try to innovate. Players that, yes, this is good. No, this is not good. And they reinforce that with their money, with their dollars. So if you come from a strictly single player mode, right, and you try to make a multiplayer game, which is allows people to say, yes, I'm enjoying this. I want to keep playing this all the time. I want to play with my friends. I want to get new gear. I want to level up and stuff. And you need to create all these mechanics. You need to create that addiction. You need to create the Left 4 Dead feeling. Unfortunately, it's pretty difficult, right? Especially if you're thinking you're an engineer, part of an engineering team, doing this multiplayer thing. You might not even play multiplayer games, especially as a middle-aged gamer. Like, I don't play multiplayer games anymore. You've heard me on this podcast. I say I tried Battlefield last year. That was the first and last time I'll ever play a multiplayer game ever again, because I'm 12. It's not worth the time. It is a cost-benefit analysis is definitely on the lost side. So, yeah, have a look for it. My final thing to say before I pass this on to Antoine is this is something that some gamers could actually like. If you are a single-player gamer, though, I think all the reviews I did read say, yep, no, this kind of sucks if you're by yourself. You do need to play this with friends. This is strictly, even though I'm on Game Pass these days, I will not give this a look just because it's a waste of time. And Antoine, after that negative note, what do you think?
It's very sad to see another bad game associated to Bethesda. Be sure, but again, Bethesda, come on, be careful what you're doing. All right, my story was just to continue on the Korean story. I was just wanting to talk about the Xbox Game Pass release of the month. And Redfall was part of this release. So it's a release day one. If you want to see the disaster for yourself, it's free on the Xbox Game Pass. So go and try and see what all the buzz is all about. So that was released 2nd of May, which is today. In 2 days, you have Ravenlock. Ravenlock is some kind of adventure game, very colorful for a younger audience. So something that I'm definitely let my kids play. So something that you can think about. But what I'm really excited about is 11th of May, you have Fuga Melodies of Steel 2. So if you listened to the podcast a few months ago, I played Fuga, first of the name, of course. It was one of the first games I played while trying out the Xbox Game Pass, and that's one of the games which makes me stick to it, because it's a fantastic game, part of the Little Tale Bronx series. And this is a game or a series with a very good, deep lore for a game which is almost unknown to us here in the West. It's something that I highly recommend for you to play if you have the Game Pass. Play Fuga 1 before 11th of May. Number 2 is going out, and I'm definitely playing that one. Then 23rd of May, you have Amnesia the Bunker. So Amnesia is a way more horror game, some kind of Calypso protocol, but instead of that, you are, instead of space, you are in the bunker of the First World War. So deep, dark tunnel with monsters. Not the kind of game for me, but if it's your stuff, still free on Game Pass. Then something which is, I find really cool, Railway Empire 2. So if you're like me, enough like us, middle-aged gamers, you must have played tons of tycoon game in your childhood, like roller coaster and these kind of things. Railway Empire is coming from this long tradition of tycoon game. I think something along the line of Anno, but again, slightly different. I recommend that you try this way more than the rest. And then on 30th of May, Far World Pioneers. It's a 2D scroller, a bit like Metal Slug, shooters, lots of adrenaline, looks like a lot of pixel art. Not really my cup of tea, but you can try that. So that's also the release you have for this month of May, which I find pretty good. And if, of course, lots of games are coming out of the Game Pass, and among them, Iron, the Paradox games, Iron Art 4, or something like this, Heart of Iron 4. If you're a Paradox, you do like Forex game, Paradox. I wanted to talk about the Paradox game, but unfortunately I didn't get too much info on that one. I'll come back to it maybe in the next podcast.
Adam, what do you think about Redfall?
I think it's disappointing, and it does actually make me very worried about Starfield. I'll be honest. It is Bethesda, and people have been saying for a long time that Microsoft has a bad habit of buying these big franchises and then not knowing how to run them properly. And what Starfield does look really good, but it has been delayed almost nearly by a year at this point. So I don't know. Hopefully that's been enough time to fix the bugs out. But yeah, I don't know. It does make me nervous. I will say that. And it is disappointing that it's not doing that well with Redfall itself. Yeah, I don't know what the problem was, but a lot of early reviews, the people that I've seen on Twitter, some of them got invited to an early gameplay of Redfall. And then, so they played it. They were praising it. They were saying how great it was. They were saying it looked amazing. It looked and played great. And then that IGN gameplay video came out and everybody was making fun of it, but they were mostly making fun of the person who was playing it. Some of these people came out with their own footage and they were like, look how great this game looks. Look how good everything is. And then it came out that the reviews, that when they invited people to do the reviews, they were inviting them to play it on PC. And so that's why it was able to play 60 frames per second, because they weren't playing on Xboxes. So PC was at 60 and then Xbox was at 30. But now on release, the Xbox version is actually doing better than the PC version. So the PC version has a lower rating than the Xbox version. So yeah, I don't know. It's just a mess. I don't know what went wrong.
If you trust numbers rather than reviews or Twitter and stuff, Metacritic, Arcane has released Prey, Dishonored 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Some other stuff, which were all in the either 98 or 90s, really high score. This one is in the low 60s.
Yeah.
Ouch.
It's weird.
Yeah, no, I don't. For me, I think it's not Microsoft's fault. I think this comes down to the head of Arcane, or in the case of Starfield, is going to be Todd Howard, of course, the head of Bethesda. He was the guy who pushed Fallout 76, and look what happened there, right? Fallout 76 is still going, But again, it's never going to be that massive multiplayer online format because of the way it's monetized, of subscriptions, we pay for stuff. And I think this game, Redfall, is they're going to try and redeem it. I think it's going to go the way of that game that had those big monsters that were
so Evolve.
Evolve, yes. I think it's going to go the way of Evolve, unfortunately. Because I don't think like it's just the same as Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk, there were a lot of people who played Cyberpunk and people who are still playing Cyberpunk. But I think Cyberpunk is getting some DLC, but I don't think Cyberpunk's going to have the life that The Witcher had with the Blood and Wine DLC, with the other DLC as well, the endless mods.
Cyberpunk is still having issues. Huh? Recently, they released the 1.6 patch, which destroyed the game. And every time you pull out the menu, any menu, the map, your inventory, whatever, it freezes the game. It's terrible. Massive issue on the 1.6.
Oh, see. There you go.
Yeah, I'm with Antoine on this one. I think Cyberpunk is a different beast simply because Cyberpunk is a single-player game. So Cyberpunk, you can, if you played it on release, it was a mess, but you can come back a year later and you can play it and it's beautiful. It works much better. They've had all the patches and all the updates. So you can come to it later to the party and it's a much better product. Redfall, though, being a multiplayer game, if like people are going to jump on it on release and then they're not going to be playing it if it's not that good, which means a year later it might be fixed. But if I jump on, unless there are other people playing it, it's just not going to be able to survive. So I think the fact that it's multi, I think if it was a single player only game, it might have a chance. But I think because it's a multiplayer game and multiplayer is just so competitive that if you don't get that initial group of people to build your base up early, you know, people who jump in later are going to be like, this game is empty. And it's, and so then they, so if I jump in, I'm like, oh, this game is empty. I jump out. Antoine comes in a month later. Oh, this game is empty. He jumps out. If we had jumped in at the same time, we could have played together. But because there's no, on release is the time. Oh, later on, it's just, yeah.
To Adam's point, it's extremely competitive, even for games who do well. Remember that massive hype there was in the first 1 or 2 months. Everybody was on one eye. 1 month later, servers are empty because it's not the flavor of the month anymore. I'm sure that lots of people still play online, but it's... Yeah, you do. Oh, wait, we need to... Why we don't have a server together? Well, Valheim too.
I think it's okay, but Valheim is a bit too... I just play with my brothers on Sundays. It's a really cool game, but it's a really slow game. There's not... When it comes to, like, survival builders, I actually prefer Adam's playing Frozen Flame, which I believe is, like, a faster survival game. It's fun. Valheim's too slow for me. Just that.
Frozen Flame is multiplayer. I'm sorry.
You have single player, and then you can have private servers, and then they have public servers, so you can choose.
I think they should try that together.
I don't think it's crossplay though.
It's only on PC currently.
Are you playing on PC?
Yeah, I'm playing on PC.
Oh, they're playing on PlayStation.
Oh,
okay. All right, we should move on.
Yeah,
we should move on to Adam's second story.
All right, so my second story is more doom and gloom for Microsoft, unfortunately. CMA has come out and they've basically said, no, Microsoft, you cannot buy Activision Blizzard, at least not in the UK. We're not going to stand for that.
Adam, for the podcast, you explain what the CMA stands for.
Competitive and Markets Authority. It's right there on screen. But if you're on the podcast, yeah, you can't read it.
Yes.
So the CMA is a government body in the UK, which basically it's their job to protect the market so that you don't have monopolies and that sort of thing. They're basically a watchdog for that sort of thing. And when Microsoft wanted to buy Activision Blizzard, obviously PlayStation made a huge fuss about it. Jim Ryan made an ass of himself with the whole, I don't want a Call of Duty deal. I just want your deal to fail, that whole thing. I'm sure he doesn't have a deep Southern accent, but that's how I hear him in my heart. And so basically the CMA came out and they said, you know what? Sony is big enough. You guys have enough franchises, even without Call of Duty. It's not the one game that's keeping you guys alive. Let's face it. Without it, you would be fine. So, Microsoft, if you want to buy Activision Blizzard, that's okay. But, one caveat, we're not going to let you do it, not because of Call of Duty, but because of cloud gaming. And the reason was, is they said that basically, Microsoft currently already controls 60 to 70% of the cloud gaming market. Okay, there are other ones out there. What's the NVIDIA one called? Shield? Is it? I don't remember.
It's NVIDIA GeForce Live.
GeForce Live. Okay.